Please turn with me in your Bibles to the very end of the Bible, the last book, Revelation, and chapter 22. The book of Revelation, chapter 22, and verse 20. The penultimate verse of the Holy Scriptures. Revelation, chapter 22, and verse 20. These words, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." And this is our subject this morning. Come, Lord Jesus. Well, as I've already mentioned, these words stand amongst the last verses of the entire Bible, these verses from the book of Revelation. And immediately I have to stress that it is the book of Revelation, not Revelations, as some people erroneously think. It's not plural, it's the singular Revelation. And, in fact, the original Greek title of this book is most definitely singular, and it is a word that we know in our English language. It is the word apocalypse. That is the Greek title of this book, the word apocalypse. And, when we hear that word apocalypse, it often brings to our mind the end of the world, or a catastrophic end to the world, an apocalypse. And of course, this book of Revelation does speak of end times. But the word essentially, what it means is an unveiling, apocalypse. It's like when you have a great big curtain, perhaps on a stage in a theater, and when the play begins, well, the curtains part, and there is an unveiling of the stage behind. That is the idea that is included in this, the apocalypse, an unveiling. That which was once hidden is now seen, or a revelation. Well, the book, the title of the book is still a good description. It's a revealing, and this is what the book does. It reveals that which was previously hidden. And well, in fact, you could apply that to the whole Bible. The whole Bible, well, it reveals to us things that are normally hidden to the human eye or to the human mind. We are earthbound human beings. We live day to day in our lives. We go to work. We go to our workplaces. And we can pass by so many things without even noticing. We're so caught up in ourselves. But when we read the scriptures, we're made known of things that were previously hidden to us, previously veiled to us. We start to think about heavenly things and about eternal things. We start to realize there is an eternity. This life is not the only life. There's an eternity to be won or lost. Those things were hidden to us before, but the scriptures make these things clear. We know about God. We know there is a God. We know there's a true and living God. Yes, many gods, many religions, but there's one true and living God. And we know what he's like through the scriptures. These things were hidden to us. But then there's a great unveiling when we come to the word of God. What was once hidden is now made known to us. God, heaven, hell, eternity, all these things, the attributes of God and so on. So Revelation, it's a fitting title for this book, and it's a good way of thinking about the entire Bible. But this revelation, just to say a few more things, this revelation was given to a specific person, and that's the Apostle John, who was the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, given to John on the Greek island of Patmos. And, it's given to John as a vision. It's a vision given to John, and many of you will know that because it's a vision, well, it can be at times very difficult to interpret, very tricky to interpret the book of Revelation. It's a book that's full of symbols, a book that's full of perhaps obscure Old Testament language, a book that's full of numbers which carry special meaning, and well, so many have been baffled and have struggled to interpret the book of Revelation. Some people have read too much into it. Others have read too little into it. And yes, it's difficult in some ways. But as always, in every book of the Bible, there are things that are very clear to understand when you read the book of Revelation. And one of the things that is very clear, and as we see in this verse, is that the Lord Jesus Christ will return one day. You can't read the book of Revelation without understanding at least that one thing, that the Lord Jesus Christ will return one day. Verse 20, "He which testifieth these things," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one who is ultimately revealing himself to the Apostle Paul. "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." And this is a fundamental Christian teaching. We don't often feature this in our Lord's Day morning services, and it's increasingly being ignored nowadays. But we have to affirm that the Lord Jesus Christ will return one day. There will be a second coming. And I hope each and every one of us knows and understands this. I'm sure the vast majority of us in this place, we all believe in the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in his earthly ministry. We believe in all the things that we read about his healings, his miracles, his death, his resurrection. Yes, we find it easy enough to believe in his first coming, but do we believe in his second coming? If we are Christian, if we are professing Christians, we must believe without a doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ will return. In fact, we are called not just to believe that Christ will return, but to long for Christ to return, to have great longing in our hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ to appear. This is a great teaching of the Scripture. Look at this verse again, verse 20. "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly," the Lord making known that he will return. And then look at the words that follow. These are the words of John the Apostle, but they're the words equally of the church, of all believers. "Amen. Let it be so. Even so come, Lord Jesus." The church believers are those who are meant to long for the appearing, for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to long for the Lord Jesus. Well, in the same way that you would long, perhaps, if you were separated from your wife or from your husband for a period of time, would you not long for them to come back? Or perhaps a child? I know parents that when their children go away to university, well, they can barely function or continue. They're always thinking about their child. They're always longing for their child to come back at half term, come back for holidays. I'm longing. I can't really function without my child. I love my child. Well, in that same way, we are to be longing for Christ to return, longing to see his appearing because we love him. Christians are those, and I say this often, Christians are those who have a true, personal, loving relationship with Christ. And if you have that, well, of course, you will long for him to come. You will long to be in his presence. We must have that if we are true Christians. So I say that just to remind us of these things. But this doctrine of the second coming of Christ is also very important in a theological sense for the effective preaching of the gospel message, you have to make known the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I remember going to an evangelistic message in another church, and it was a meeting where you were encouraged to invite people, unbelievers, to come. It would be overtly evangelistic. And so we managed to get some unbelievers to come. And the preacher, well, he delivered a good sermon, very clear. He spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke about how the Lord had died for sin. But he didn't speak about the second coming of Christ. He just left it. And then after a few minutes after the end of the sermon, one of the unbelievers, a young lady, she said to me, "Well, I don't get it." Well, yes, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ died. Yes, I know and understand that. But well, what am I supposed to do about it? He died for sin, but so what? Am I supposed to feel guilty about that? Well, then I had to explain to her, you know, you have to seek the salvation of the Lord. You have to seek the forgiveness of sin. Why? Because Christ is coming again. Because you have to be prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then she started to understand it. Christ is coming again. And I've known many people, many Christians, they tell you that when they started to take the Lord Jesus Christ seriously, when they started to take the Christian faith seriously, it was when they began to think to themselves, if Christ were to come today, would I be ready? That's when they started to take it seriously. If Christ were to appear even this day, am I ready? And we all have to ask ourselves that question. If Christ were to appear, what would be our standing with him? You know, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be very different to the first coming. The first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, it was, in a way, it was a veiled coming. It was a hidden coming. We all know the account. We all know that the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, a small town, in an obscure corner of the Roman Empire in Judea, not a large country or a powerful nation. We know that he was born in a stable, we believe, laid in a manger. Not many people there, only a few shepherds were called to come and see this baby Jesus. So in a sense, it was a hidden coming. It was a veiled coming. But the second coming of Christ won't be hidden at all. It won't be like that humble coming in Bethlehem with a stable and so on. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes the second time, we read in the scriptures that he will come upon the clouds. Upon the clouds with the holy angels, and every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him, and every knee shall bow. There will be a great unveiling. This will not be hidden at all. This will be very clear and open to all those. Every knee shall bow. You know, that includes unbelievers. This is the great mistake that unbelievers make. They think that if they don't believe in Christ, well, then they'll have nothing else to do with him for the rest of their lives. If I never go to church and I don't speak to anyone about God, well, that's it. God is out of my life. That's not true at all. Because when Christ comes, every eye will see him, every knee will bow. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, everyone will know that Christ is King. All those who are living, even the dead, shall be raised up on that day, and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord, that he is the incarnate God, the God-man who has come to rule for all eternity. And so this is why we have to preach the gospel, because of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes the second time, well, he will come as judge. Again, it's very different to his first coming. When the Lord came the first time, it was to be our Savior. It was to go to the cross. It was to take upon himself the punishment for our sins. That was the first time he came, to stand condemned in our place. Lord, punish me instead of my people. I will suffer and die for them so that they may be forgiven. That was his first coming as Savior. His second coming will be different. His second coming will be as a judge. He will come to judge the world for sin. So this is why we have to preach the gospel. This is why we urge people, do you know Christ as your Savior? Because if you don't know Christ as your Savior, then you will only know Christ as your judge, who will judge you for sin. So you must come. You must come to Christ and know him as Savior. Know that he has died for your sin. Know that he has made full atonement. He is coming quickly, he says. So you must come quickly also. You must come with great urgency. Now, many people, again, they like to scoff at such teaching. They say, the Christian church has been saying that the Lord will come for many, many years now, for 2,000 years, and he hasn't come yet. Why should we take these things seriously? Well, you know, one of the reasons, I won't go into this, but one of the reasons why there has been a delay, if you like, is because of God's mercy. It's because of his mercy. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not being slack. He wants people out of every age and nation to be saved. That's why he waits. So he is not being slack in his promise. By the way, many people, many preachers, they seem to be quite convinced that the end is not far off at all now. And I just throw this in. Many people think that perhaps in the next 20 or 30 years, Christ will come. Why is that? Well, one of the signs that the Lord Jesus Christ will return, and we read this in the scripture, is that there will be a great falling away first. A great falling away. A great turning away from God. And is that not what we see in this society nowadays? The atheism and the unbelief in this society, in this world, is without precedent. It's without exception in history. There's never been a time when so many have turned away from God, and not just turning away from God, but they are indulging in things that are wicked, that are prohibited by the word of God, and promoting these things, and celebrating these things, and teaching these things to the young, and saying evil things are good. Evil things are wonderful and to be promoted and indulged in. And if you say anything otherwise, you're a criminal. Evil things are being made good. There's a great falling away at this present time. And we all think to ourselves, how much longer is it going to last? How much longer can we live like this? Surely the Lord will come quickly. So perhaps in the next 20 or 30 years, the Lord Jesus Christ will come. But even if it's still another 100 years, 200 years or so away or whatever, it's still a very urgent message for you. Still an urgent message for you, because how long have you got left? You've only got till the end of your life. You haven't got 100 years or 200 years to repent. You've only got to the end of your life. And how long will your life be? You don't know how long you've got left. Maybe you've got a long life, but you don't know. We had even this day, just at the bottom of Lordship Lane, a man in his 30s, stabbed to death. He's in eternity now. I'm sure yesterday morning, he thought he had so many years ahead of him, that poor soul, and yet he didn't. Is that different for any of us? We don't know. We simply don't know. So for any of us, it's still an urgent message, regardless of when the Lord comes again. It's still an urgent message. We must come. We must come quickly. We must come quickly to the Lord, because we never know when it will be too late. And these things are important, but they're very solemn things. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, well, it will be too late to repent. It will be too late to change your mind if you have not received him already. Just look with me in chapter 22 to verses 10 and 11 as we begin to draw to conclusion this morning, because this is important. Revelation 22 and verses 10 and 11. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And then verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And in other words, this is what will be acknowledged and declared on the last day. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. If we are without Christ, if we have not repented of our sin before he comes again, well, we will be as a filthy thing in the sight of God, in the sight of Christ. God is a holy God, and all our sins will be open to him when he returns. All our lies, all the times that we've lied, every lie will appear as a filthy thing. All the times we've been cruel, it will appear as a filthy thing to God. All the times we've been selfish and cruel, we will be covered in all our sins. All the secrets of our hearts that nobody else knows, God will see them. It will be open. We will be covered in our sins. We will be a filthy thing. But not if you trust in Christ. Not if you trust in Christ. If you repent now in this life, at this time, with great urgency, you'll be washed. You'll be washed clean of all your sin. You will appear before God without spot, without blemish, because you trust in Christ. You believe that with his shed blood, he's washed away all your sin. He took the punishment. So when Christ comes again, there will be no condemnation. You trust in him. You know that he has washed away your sin. So you must come. You must come and know his salvation. These things are so very important. What group will you be in? He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. Will you be in that group? Or look at the following. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Those who trust in Christ, those who trust in his righteousness, what group will you be in, dear friends? Because you never know when that day will come. My prayer and the prayer of all the believers in this church is that each and every one of us will be in that righteous group. We meet here every week and we love one another. We're so blessed in this church, even the people that we don't know very well. We love you, we pray for you. And our prayer is that we will, each and every single one of us, each and every one gathered here, will be found in that group that is taken up to be with the Lord in the air. That is our prayer for each and every one of you. But it starts with you as an individual. It starts with you. Am I going to trust in Christ? Just think of what will happen if you don't. Just think of that day. You will see everybody else, or most of the people in this church, being taken up to be with the Lord. You will be left behind. There will be no second chance for you. Everybody else taken up. Maybe they'll be your brother or your sister will be taken up to be with the Lord. Perhaps your parents will be taken up. Your children. Is it the case that your children will be taken up? You'll be left behind? And why? Because you wanted your sin? Because you lived for this world? That's going to be your reason? Why you remained in your sin and your filth while everyone else is taken up to be with the Lord? Dear friends, forbid it. Come to the Lord. Even this day you can. Come to the Lord. Pray to Him. Find a quiet place. Come sincerely with your whole heart and say, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly into my life. Come and be Lord over my life. Come and reign over my life. Come and make me a servant. Come and bless me with repentance and with faith. I don't want to spend another day in my sin. I don't want to spend another day appearing filthy in thy sight. I want to be washed and clean. I want to be ready when Christ comes again. Say that to the Lord. Say it with all your heart. And God willing, each and every one of us will be found in that place, singing eternal praises, just as we sing in this church, temporary praises, just as we adore the Lord. Each and every one of us, come to the Lord, humble yourselves, for the Lord cometh quickly, and we must be found in Him. These tremendous words, I close with them. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. This is no lie. This is the truth. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Father in heaven. Oh, dear Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for all its glory. We thank Thee for all its riches and its depth. We thank Thee for all its prophecies, for its warnings. We thank Thee that our Lord and Saviour will return again. Oh, dear Lord, help us that each and every one of us may be ready for that day, that we may repent while there is yet time in our lives, that we may truly know the salvation of the Lord and the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. O Lord, come and forgive us all our sin. Wash away all our sin, that we may be made clean in Thy sight and received into everlasting peace and joy at the very end. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.